Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
From London, I'm John Weeks, and this is The Standard. Whether it's jumping the barriers, sneaking onto buses, or avoiding the ticket collector on the train, stats from TfL show fare dodging in London is up. Tube station staff reported more than 756,000 cases last year, up 51% on the previous year. TfL says fare evasion costs an estimated £130 million a year in lost income, equivalent to the amount needed to keep fares frozen annually. But TfL officials said they've overseen a 56% rise in prosecutions compared with 2022. However, when you zoom out a bit, the stats look very different. Transport for London is actually prosecuting about 10,000 fewer fare dodgers a year than immediately before the pandemic. So, does this mean the problem's getting worse or prosecutions are getting more difficult? Joining me now to go through the detail is our transport editor, Ross Lydall. So Ross, just to begin with, can you sort of explain the stats here? Because we've got both a rise in prosecutions compared with 2022, but a drop since pre-pandemic. Is it overall sort of good news or bad news?
Well, it's good news in the short term and not so good news over the longer term. What TfL has announced today is that it has prosecuted 19,600 people in the last year for fare dodging. And that figure is 50% higher than the number of prosecutions it conducted in 2022. So on the face of it, good news. Well done, guys. Keep up the hard work. However, what they didn't say, and what I've been able to establish by looking at some of its recent Freedom of Information responses, is that the figure for last year, the 19,600, is still about 10,000 fewer than the number of prosecutions that were carried out in the 2019-20 financial year, i.e. the year immediately before the world shut down for the COVID pandemic.
And do you think that's surprising, considering over the last year we've been living through a cost of living crisis, which wasn't actually so bad before the pandemic?
Well, certainly the cost of living crisis is given as one of the reasons why more people may be seeking to avoid paying fares. The simple fact they can't afford to travel but may have a need to travel. So, yes, fair enough. I think what's interesting here is that because I asked TfL this morning, well, why is it that you're sort of 10,000 prosecutions short of before the pandemic? And they say, well, that's because there are fewer passengers. But, well, yes, but there are fewer passengers, but not that many fewer. You know, we're getting nearly up to pre-pandemic levels, certainly at the weekend, where levels on tubes and buses actually exceed pre-pandemic travel at certain times. It's certainly true that on Mondays and Fridays, there are fewer people using the buses and the tubes. But midweek, we're pretty much there. You know, it's at around 90-odd% on a good day. So there are still millions of people travelling. If you compare, you know, essentially on a typical weekday now, you've still got sort of 5 million people on the buses and probably at least 3 million people on the tube. To prosecute only 19,600 people over an entire year, you know, it's an absolutely tiny comparison, really. So there's plenty of people to get. And the key thing to remember here, and again, this is another fact that TfL did not want to release through its sort of press office this morning, was that many tube station staff, its own staff, are reporting thousands of instances of fare dodging. A few years ago, you know, when TfL, as part of its efforts to get its station staff out from behind the ticket office windows and onto the concourse, into the ticket line, or the gate line as it's known, to help passengers, they gave all these staff iPad-type devices. And on this screen is an app which allows the person at the gate line to essentially send a message to the enforcement squad saying, I've just spotted a fare dodger at my station. This data is logged and then is used by TfL's 450 enforcement officers to work out which stations to target. This shows that in the last year, there have been about 750,000 alerts sent by the station staff to the enforcement officers. So it's not as if there isn't a rising problem. There's an enormous problem with fare evasion. TfL, unfortunately, is only able to tackle the sort of very top slice of the scale of the problem.
And using that sort of tech you just described there, Ross, I mean, do we know of any hotspots for fare dodging, such as key stations or areas, for example?
TfL hasn't given any hotspot stations in the information it has released today, but I've covered this subject for many years, and on previous reports, the hotspots never seem to change, both for crime and fare evasion. They tend to sort of overlap largely with the busier stations and also stations where there tends to be shoppers and tourists, because quite often the people who are doing the pickpocketing are also doing the fare evading. So, for example, you have Stratford, you have King's Cross, you have Oxford Circus, you have Leicester Square. All of these places are notorious spots for fare dodging. The other issue, of course, is that many stations in outer London are easy picking for fare dodgers, because my own station, Walthamstow Central, very often in the evening and certainly at weekends, the ticket barriers are left open because there aren't any staff there to essentially man the barriers to help people get through if their ticket gets stuck or their ticket doesn't work. That's like manna from heaven for fare dodgers. They don't have to jump the barriers. They don't have to try and use a dodgy ticket. They can just walk straight through a wide open barrier.
Let's take a break now. In part two, we turn our attention to dust on the underground.
The Northern Line has been identified as the tube line with the highest levels of dust. Some of these types of chemicals and dust are to a degree unavoidable.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And I understand there is some other transport-related news out today about dust levels on certain stations on the underground. What is that news today?
Yes, this has been a busy day for Transport for London publications, and these two reports it has issued on tube dust are going to make your head hurt, if we're quite honest about it. These are highly technical reports, not easily understood. But the headline seems to be that from these reports, there's evidence that suggests which lines are slightly dustier than others and which stations have more of a problem with dust. However, the good news is that none of the lines or none of the stations appears to have levels of dust that breach the sort of health guidelines. Now, in terms of the sort of other headlines from these reports, it's probably fair to say that the Northern Line has been identified as the tube line with the highest levels of dust. and that stations such as King's Cross and Hampstead, which are both on the Northern Line, also seem to have higher amounts of sort of chemicals within the dust than other stations. Overall, though, it seems that the dust and the types of chemicals such as iron oxide within the dust, the quantities there is actually less than these experts found 4 years ago.
And as you said, overall, there is less dust on the tube than a few years ago. Is that due to a concerted effort to actually get rid of it?
Yes. Quite why there's less dust on the tube is not entirely clear, but it is fair to say to TfL that it does actually send out a sort of army of midnight workers on a regular basis whose job is to walk up and down the tunnels once the tube trains have stopped running, so sort of 1 o'clock in the morning till about 5 a.m. And they have sort of vacuum cleaners either on their back or, you know, almost like a sort of a Henry type machine that they would pull along these tunnels and pick up dust and scrape dust off the sides of the tube tunnels by hand. It's quite an extraordinary sight, just seeing these poor folk essentially doing a back-breaking job in dusty, hot conditions. Deeply unpleasant job, but they say it's satisfying. The result is that they come out, these guys come out of the tube tunnels each morning with sackfuls of dust. So efforts are being made in a very old-fashioned way to keep the tube as clean as possible. And it seems from these latest reports that that hard work is paying dividends.
I understand that the issue with the dust is that it can be harmful to breathe in because it's from sort of the brakes and things and it's fairly well contained in the underground. What are the risks, I suppose, of breathing in this dust at sort of the worst levels?
Yes, well, this dust, some of it can be harmful to health. You know, here we're talking about tiny soot particulates, for example, known as PM2.5s and PM10s. Now, there's often arguments about pollution above ground. And especially these sorts of particles are emitted largely by diesel engines and they can be carcinogenic and cause other breathing difficulties. They've obviously been found in very low levels underground. This is one of the sort of favourite ways that critics of the Mayor Sadiq Khan essentially troll him online when he says that he's brought in the ULEZ to improve the air quality above ground. They say, well, what are you doing on the London Underground? Of course, it's a different argument there, that people are only on the underground for a very short period of time in the day normally. Here, the concern, to be frank, is more about the tube station staff and the tube drivers and their health. And that's why TfL carries out these studies. There's less of a risk to passengers than there is to the staff. The other thing to bear in mind here is that some of these types of chemicals and dust are to a degree unavoidable. Quite often the iron oxide comes from the wheels of the trains rubbing against the rails. The solution, well, is probably to build lines like the Elizabeth Line, have a newer line in a cleaner environment and also have a line that's direct. If you have a line that's got fewer twists and turns on it, there'll be less squealing and scraping between train wheels and the track and therefore fewer emissions will be sort of thrown up into the air. That explains why lines such as the Northern Line, which obviously has got really twisty network, you know, think of it as it goes up through Camden Town and it rattles across the points there, or the likes of the Bakerloo, where if you go into Waterloo Station on the Bakerloo, it's like going round a sort of circle line all in itself. It's so twisted. By simplifying the lines, modernising the network leads to a cleaner network and a better quality of air for the passengers and for the tube staff.
There's more news, interviews and analysis in the Evening Standard newspaper and at standard.co.uk. Thanks for listening. We're back on Monday afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.